on me. It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me. It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about?
All righty, guys, we are back for yet another episode of the Auto Bid. That was my guy Pull Up Tay on the intro. Make sure you guys stream his latest project, Life Ain't Fair, and make sure you guys stream his latest music video, New, featuring fellow Montgomery County artist Nas B. Definitely want to give a shout out to my guys, man, putting it on, you know, putting on for Moco in the music industry, man. Ace, man, we got another jam-packed episode today, man. How you doing?
Doing good, man. It is inauguration day, baby. The day Trump leaves that White House and Mr. Biden and Miss Kamala step up in there, man. So I'm definitely excited. You know, it's been a long time coming. Got that man about the White House, my man Biden about to get up in there. So I'm definitely, I'm excited, man. I'm excited today.
Sorry, I'm pretty sure her name is pronounced Kamala Ace. You know, I think it's Kamala. I'm pretty sure it's Kamala Harris. You know, so let's make sure we get the pronunciation correct. For all the people listening to this podcast today, you know, my good sis Kamala has been getting her name butchered all throughout the House and the Senate by these people who need to know her name. That's a whole other conversation I won't get into, you know. We're going to get into how people love to butcher us black folks' name, you know, purposely sometimes. But nonetheless, we're going to have, you know, the inauguration today. So we definitely got some big time news, man. You know, while we're at it, guys, make sure you guys like this podcast, share this podcast. Please subscribe to the podcast as well. Leave us a rating. Leave us a comment, please. It goes a long way in getting this podcast in front of the people that may need to hear it, man. You know, you never know, man. I know there's some college basketball fans out there, you know, that you guys might not know. But trust me, man, there are people who love to hear the content that we have on here, man. So definitely, man, like, share, subscribe to the podcast, man. Leave us a rating and tell a friend to tell a friend.
Yes, sir, man. We got a big surprise for you guys today, man. We're going to be joined a little later by Anthony and Nenda Tark, brothers from Coppin State. Nenda's a freshman. Just won his third Rookie of the Week award in the MEAC. And then Anthony Tark is a guy who we talked about a little bit on this podcast before. He's tearing up the scene right now. He's won his fifth Defensive Player of the Week award. I think he's won MEAC Player of the Week two or three times. He's having an outstanding season for Coppin State. They're also brothers like me and Drew, so we're going to go ahead and have those guys on. We're going to talk a little bit about their season and, of course, their sibling rivalry, what it's like to be able to play basketball in college together. So definitely excited to get you that a little bit later today. But first, we got to recap some wins this weekend, baby. So I'm going to go ahead and let Drew start it off, man. Drew, I mean, what wins kind of stick out to you this weekend, man?
Yeah, man, definitely got a couple of one. I want to start, you know, with the MAC, you know, the conference that we played in for 4 years, man. I think the one thing that really stuck out to me, man, it may not be a big deal to many, but Siena, man, they're 6-0 right now, and they were able to get two wins over Ryder this weekend without Jalen Pickett. I'm going to say it again. Pickett hasn't played for the last three games. He didn't play the last game versus Fairfield. He didn't play either of these games versus Ryder, and Siena is still able to get a sweep over Ryder without their best player. I mean, this kid, Jordan King, a sophomore out of Albany, man. Let me read you his last three games, Ace. Last game was Ryder, he had 22, career high. Last game before that, 21, which was his previous career high. Last game before that, 18. I mean, he stepped in for Pickett and essentially just picked it right where he left off, 18, 21, 22. I didn't know who this kid was, you know, but I mean, I think it just really speaks to the strength of Siena. We're going to get you guys to some more MAC games, but I mean, I had to get it out first, man. I mean, honestly, I think that this performance weekend has really separated Siena from the rest of the MAC. Anytime you can lose the MAC Player of the Year and still be able to get a sweep in the MAC, I mean, is extraordinary, man. And to have a guy, you know, when, like, I think a sign of a great team, man, is this, you know, this next man up mentality. So when you can have a guy like Pickett, you know, go down, and you're still able to win games. And you not only have a guy that comes in and, you know, can give you a 10 or, a nice 12. I mean, this dude came in and had back-to-back 20 pieces on the road at Ryder. I mean, this is not – that's no small task, man. So I had to start the segment off with that, man. I mean, how about Siena? How about Jordan King delivering two back-to-back career highs?
Yeah, man, that is definitely surprising, man. I mean, Siena is I think they're head and shoulders the best team in the MAC. I mean, I don't think it's even up for dispute, up for a debate at this point. I mean, anytime you can get a performance, like you said, Drew, I mean, a kid, Jordan King, a sophomore, who can come in there and just act like it's been, you know, business as usual. And no pick, I'm just going to come in and drop 18, 20, 18, 21, and 22. I mean, that's actually crazy. For those of you who don't know, Jalen Pickett is out with a right leg injury that he hurt in their game last week against Fairfield. So he has missed the last three games. So, I mean, that's unbelievable, man. I mean, this kid, Jordan King, is currently second on the team in scoring behind Pickett at 14 a game. And that's going to be huge for them to get that third score. Obviously, everybody knows about Pickett. Everybody knows about Manny Camper. Those two guys were preseason first team all MAC guys. But for Jordan King, man, to get that kind of third fiddle guy to come up in there and to provide some scoring, man, is absolutely huge for them. I mean, right now they've got five guys averaging double figures on their team. They've got a guy, Colin Golson, who played his first two games of the year this season versus Ryder, and he's just over 11 points a game, had 14 in game one and seven. No, 14, I'm sorry, seven in game one and 14 in game two versus Ryder. So, I mean, they're coming along at the right time, man. I mean, Siena is looking like, you know, they're like I said, the favorites in the MAC. This might be a league that they run away with by the time it's all said and done, man. I don't know if anybody – if they're winning games without Jalen Pickett, I mean, when he comes back, they're going to be that much better. So, I mean, this is a scary MAC right now and a scary Siena team.
Not for sure, man. I mean, it just makes me think, man, like what would have happened last year if the MAC didn't get canceled? You know, we saw, obviously, Iona lost to St. Peter's. So it was going to be a new king, per se, of the MAC. You know, obviously, St. Peter's had a lot to say about that since they were the team that actually knocked off, you know, Iona. But, I mean, dang, man. I mean, could this Siena team have realistically won it last year and then came back this year? I mean, this team is looking like this team didn't play till January. You know, yeah. To come out and run off six straight. And the last three of them, they didn't even have their best player. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that just tells you a lot about this team and you know, what they could have done last year, man. Obviously, we know back in the day, you know, in Siena's prime time, they won three straight in the MAC. Yeah. You know, and it's looking like, I mean, they got Pickett for this year. They got it for another year. They got this Jordan King kid who's a sophomore for three more years. I mean, I don't know, man. The future's looking bright in Albany.
It definitely is, man. I mean, as you know, man, the MAC tournament is in Siena. It's at the Times Union Center in their home gym. I mean, we had, huh?
Atlantic City?
Oh, actually, they moved to Atlantic City. I'm sorry. I'm showing my age a little bit, man. When me and you played in the MAC, it was at Siena, but they've actually moved it to Atlantic City since we got up out of there. But I mean, we had Pickett, you know, for our first episode on here, man. He said he wants to reach the 316, man. And I think that is very much in reach for these guys if they could potentially, you know, get to tour. Like you said, Drew, anytime you cannot play the whole month of November and December, they did not play a game until January the 3rd. The season started in November. They did not play their first game until January the 3rd, man, and they're undefeated. They haven't missed a beat. So, Siena's going to be scary, man, but whatever MAC games you got for us, Drew.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, I think the first other one that comes to my mind is, man, is Monmouth and Quinnipiac series over the weekend, man. I mean, absolutely brutal loss for Quinnipiac on night one, man. They have, I think, you know, a 7 or so point lead. I mean, I remember I was tracking the game, and I mean, they just absolutely crumbled at the end of the game. A lot of missed free throws, turnovers, man, and,
you know, I was watching that game, man, and literally, I mean, it was the point where Jacob Burgoyne is the best shooter on the team, probably the best shooter in the MAC. He went to the line, missed two. Monmouth went down and scored. They have problems inbound on the ball. One time they inbounded it, Tyrese dribbled off his leg. Monmouth comes down and scores. Next possession, they inbound it. Savion comes down and tries to throw a pass across the court, like kind of one of those things. He's like going real fast, kind of like pick it up and just throw it. Throws it out of bounds. Monmouth comes down and scores again. And then I think Jacob might have missed like the front end of a 1-on-1, and then they went down and scored. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, that was a game that Quinnipiac has to be that's a game that can hurt, you know, in the long run, because a game where they were up, I believe, like 7 points with like maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes left, and they lost. I mean, they thoroughly outplayed Monmouth that whole game. I mean, they were winning the entirety of the game. They had outplayed them the entirety of the game. And quite literally they outplayed them for about 38 and a half minutes of that ball game. And then the last minute and a half, it got away from him. And then overtime, you end up losing. And then the next night, you end up, you know, losses like that can have a hangover, you know. So you lose a game like that on night one. And then on night two, you come out and you know, they end up getting swept, man. But that was a series that they easily could have, at worst, split. I mean, if you get that first win on the road, that the confidence, you know, man. I mean, the momentum and the confidence of these back-to-backs, man. If you can get a win in game one, you know, game two, it's anyone's ball game, man. So I think that kind of changed the whole trajectory of not only to need that series, but it could be something that could, if you let it, you know, it could end up hampering you down the line as well.
Nah, man, for sure, man. And I think, you know, like I said, Quinnipiac absolutely deserved to win that game, man. They're going to have a must-win series this weekend. They got Niagara coming to the town. You know, we'll touch them a little more on that later when we get to games of the week. But they're definitely going to need to kind of get back in the win column, man. But last Matt game we want to talk about is Manhattan was able to get a sweep over Niagara. And Ace, you mentioned this on last week's episode. That was a must sweep for Manhattan. They had kind of had some early season struggles. You know, they were 2-4 in the MAC. We know how important it is to kind of stay at or around 500 in MAC play when it comes to getting that first round bye. So Manhattan was able to get that done behind two games where Elijah Buchanan scored 14 points, led them in scoring in both games. So Manhattan with two absolutely huge wins over Niagara this weekend as well.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I said it last week, that was a series that they had to have. I mean, you can't keep squandering these opportunities at home. You know, I mean, you want to get so many opportunities at home in these back-to-backs. I mean, you're going to have to eventually go on the road. They got swept at home by Marist, which was – you can't get swept on your home court. With these back-to-back games in conference play, if you have a game on your home court, you cannot get swept. At worst, it has to be a split. You would love to sweep, but at worst, it has to be a split. So that Marist sweep at home – really set them back, in my opinion. So to be able to bounce back and get this home sweep over Niagara was absolutely huge. Because next week they got Monmouth, you know. So I mean, and Monmouth is coming to them, you know. Obviously, we had King Rice on here earlier, and he was going off, but he's going, you know, to Siena and to Manhattan and to Iona, and thankfully St. Peter's is coming to him. But the top five teams he's all on the road for. So I mean, Manhattan's schedule is laid out pretty nicely, man. They've had a plethora of home games. So they've got to take care of business, man. I think they're going to have to get a split. Like I said, man, you can't get swept on your home court. So that was incredibly important for them to be able to get that sweep over Niagara this weekend. So definitely good for them to be able to get back to 500.
Now, for sure, man, I want to transition a little bit to the A-10, man. UMass, man, I mean, they're 4-1. You know, I want to show them some love. You know, I want to show them some love. A lot of people didn't really have, you know, think much of UMass. I will say, granted, you know, they had two wins over LaSalle, one over Fordham. Two teams were going to be at the bottom of the league, man. But they did get one over UMass, over URI. I mean, then, hey, man, regardless of what they think or who you got to be who's in front of you. And the reality is UMass has to be who's in front of them. You know, they're 4-1 so far in the A-10. I think we're going to really find out about this UMass team this weekend. We're going to get to these a little bit later in the game of the week, man. But they have a big-time test. You know, the next two games are against Davidson and VCU. You know, so you're 4-1 right now. You have two teams in Davidson and VCU who are two legitimate A-10 teams who, like, we're going to find out. Like, is this UMass team legit? You know, they have one of the best players in the A-10, and Trey Mitchell, a guy who was, you know, picked in the first team in the preseason, incredibly talented kid. I'm pretty sure he was a top 100 or borderline top 100 kid coming out of Woodstock Academy when he got to UMass. So, I mean, there's talent on this team, you know. So, I mean, like I said, we're going to find out a lot about this UMass team very, very soon.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, me personally, I'm not really putting too much stock in UMass, man. I mean, you got two wins over LaSalle and one over Fordham, and then an overtime victory over URI. URI is a good team, but the way – I mean, they beat him in overtime. It's a rivalry. This is one of those New England rivalries. I mean, after that game, they were about to fight on the court. So, I mean, anytime it's a rivalry situation, you know, and you're at home, it could go either way. But I don't know. I'm not going to say I'm not like, but I just think these next two games, like you said, can tell us a lot. If they go out and lose to Davidson and then lose to VCU and it's, you know, not close, then we're going to know that these guys are, in fact, pretenders and not actually contenders. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see what's up with UMass. But right now, I'm not putting them – when I think of the A-10, they're not – I mean, even though they're tied for first place right now, I'm not – I don't really view them in that way. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with these two games, though, coming up for sure.
No, you're right, man. You're right. Hey, like I said, I think there's a lot that remains to be seen with the UMass team down the line. But you know, hey, you know, as of right now, they're 4-1, you know, so I'll show them some love, man. But how about you, man? Give me your games of the week, some games that you had your eye on.
For sure, man. I mean, we talked a little bit about this last week, but BU, man, they are imploding. I mean, they got swept this weekend by Army at home. Army came to BU and swept them. BU is now 1-5 in the Patriot League. They started off with a split against Holy Cross. They're 1-1. And then it was looking like they were going to, you know, they had Colgate coming into town. They got swept by Colgate. And then they had Army coming into town, and they got swept by Army. I mean, I just said it a few minutes ago. You cannot get swept on your home court. I mean, I think this essentially puts them out of the running to win the Patriot League because, I mean, I don't see Colgate losing. I mean, I don't know. They got they played Army. And they split. Army is actually looking like a pretty good team. I mean, they're sitting right now at 4-2 in the Patriot League. Colgate is 5-1 in the Patriot League right now, man. But I mean, it's looking right now like it could be a 2-horse race in the Patriot League, man. But I was extremely surprised by BU that they got swept at home by Army, man. So we're gonna see what ends up happening in the Patriot League. But Army's a good team, though, man. I mean, Army's a team that beat Buffalo in the non-conference. They have a win over Colgate, who we're going to talk a little bit about the net rankings a little later. But Colgate came in at, you know, number 22, I believe, in this condition of the net rankings. So they're getting a lot of respect from the committee. Army has a win over them. They have a win over BU in the non-conference, man. So, and they're sitting at 4-2 in the Patriot League, man. So that was definitely a surprising result. I think Joe Jones is going to have a lot of work to do. You know, down the line to kind of get back afloat in the Patriot League. They head out west for a couple games. Utah State swept San Diego State this weekend. San Diego State is obviously a team that, you know, was ranked top 25. You know, they're a team that, you know, has beaten UCLA, they've beaten Arizona State, you know, they've beaten St. Mary's. But then they have losses also to BYU, and then they got swept this weekend by Utah State, and they also split with Colorado State earlier in the year. So Utah State is for real, man. I mean, we're going to get to net rankings a little later, so I'll save a little bit for that for later in the conversation, man. But Utah State was able to later sweep San Diego State. And then BYU got a win over St. Mary's. This is a St. Mary's team that's really struggling, man. They lost 3 in a row. They lost to Santa Clara. Then they lost to BYU, and they lost to Gonzaga. So this is a team that's 0-3 right now in the WCC. So, I mean, this is a team that we're talking about almost guaranteed to get these at-large, you know, bids. And, you know, they have really struggled to start the conference season. And I think that Santa Clara loss is one that we didn't really see coming. I mean, you can't really get mad. You lose to Gonzaga, obviously. And then, you know, BYU game was a game that we you know, could have went either way. But BYU was a really good team. So definitely was a little surprising. At those results. And then Stetson got a split with Liberty this weekend, which was pretty surprising to me. We had Darius McGee on here last week. I obviously spoke to him. Liberty was looking like the favorite. And they still are the favorites in my book. I mean, they had to go to Stetson. They were on the road. So, like I said, man, it's hard to sweep weekends on the road in college basketball. We spoke about that ad nauseum on this podcast. Stetson was able to steal one from Liberty. So those are a couple of the wins. There's one more that I want to talk about. I'll let you kind of comment on those off the rip.
Yeah, man, I say, you know, first, man, the schedule makers didn't do St. Mary's any favors having them, you know, see Gonzaga and BYU in their first three games. You know, I think that's a team that, you know, despite the fact that they're 0-3, I still think that they're going to be there at the end of the year. I think that they're going to get a lot better as the conference season goes on. You know, by the time the conference tournament comes around, I'm not sure what we're talking about them for at-large bid. Maybe they can work their way back into that conversation, but I do think they're a team that could potentially steal a bid, you know, if they potentially see BYU again, can maybe hand them a loss if they see them again in the conference tournament or anything like that, man. But I think that, you know, when we're talking about the WCC, man, I think that's a conference that, you know, those teams, you know, outside of Gonzaga, man, you know, St. Mary's and the BYUs and the Pepperdines and, you know, Santa Clara's and all those schools like that, man, like, you know, they're going to be able to beat up on each other, you know, so it's going to be interesting to see who's going to emerge as that second fiddle. It seems like BYU is that team as of right now, but, you know, by the time the conference tournament comes around, you know, we'll definitely have to see.
Yeah, you know, for sure, man. And then the last game was one that me and you were have covered the past couple of days. Towson was able to get a sweep over UNC Wilmington, obviously, to start. Well, they lost their first game of NCAA play, a game that they didn't have Zane Martin, lost to James Madison that first game. Then they were able to get a big sweep this weekend at home over UNC Wilmington, which was huge for them to be able to get the 2-1 in the NCAA. Drew, you and I are both there for that at SeaCool Arena this weekend, man. But Towson looks good, man. They look good. I mean, this was their first weekend where they had Jason Gibson and Zane Martin together back on the court since the November 27th it was. And, I mean, those guys are starting to build their chemistry. Zane Martin starting to get into a rhythm. Obviously, this is the guy that averaged, you know, 19 points a game as a sophomore at Towson. And for those of you that do not know, he transferred away after that year, went to New Mexico, averaged about 10 points a game, and then said, you know what, this isn't really what I want. I'm going to come back to Towson. We rarely see guys transfer away and then transfer back. You see guys go to three schools, but rarely do you see them transfer and then come back. And so Zay Martin's back at Towson. He started out the season struggling to score a little bit. He was shooting around, like, I think 32-33% from the floor, averaging about 14 points a game. This weekend, he got his swagger back, man. Scored 21 in game one, then scored 24 in night two, man. And he's starting to get the rhythm back, man. So I think he's going to be a key cog for Towson as they're going up to Hofstra this weekend to play the Pride. So I think we had Coach Claxton on here a little earlier in the show, but they're going to go up there and play Hofstra this weekend, man. But Towson's looking good, man. So I definitely wanted to give them a shout out on the show for sure.
Yeah, man. I think the recipe for success, man, is like a lot of times when it comes to Division I basketball, man, like you need a guy that can make a play at the end of the game. You know, like, at sometimes, you know, it's good when you have these balanced teams and you might have 3-4 guys that are averaging from like 11 to like 13, 14. You don't have, some people don't really have that number one guy, but they have, you know, a lot of guys that can score. That's good. But sometimes, like, when the game is close and you need to get to the basket, or like when a team is on a run and you need somebody to get to the foul line and stop the bleeding, like, you need one of those guys. And Towson has that in Zay Martin. We saw that yesterday. You know, UNC Wilmington was able to go on, they scored 8 points or something like that without any time come up the clock, you know, and Zay Martin gets downhill, you know, gets to the foul line, he's creating shots for others. They have the collapse on him, so he's getting other guys threes. I mean, you need a guy like that. Like, when the shot clock is running down and it's 10, 9, you can just call a flat ball screen and allow him to go to work, you know, and they had that. Another thing with Towson is they were able to win the first game despite shooting 1-for-14 from three. And they were able to win the second game despite shooting 5-for-15 from three, which is horrible, but it's not anything to brag about. And the reason they were able to do that is because they punished teams on the interior. So if you can get layups, and if you have those two big guys down there with, you know, obviously Charles Thompson and Solo and Vic, that can get you second chance points to where you're getting multiple looks at the rim. I mean, that travels, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you might not always be able to make a three-point jumper. You might not always be able to score. But if you can get layups, I mean, shoot, layups usually travel. You know what I'm saying? And they have guys who are, you know, 7 feet at the rim and things like that, man. So I think that's really is going to give Towson a fighting chance, man. They have a scorer. They have a guy that you can go to and have everybody else on the baseline and get a bucket. Then they also have big guys who can rebound and get you extra shots at the rim. So, you know, shout out to Coach Scary, man. You know, for you know, putting the team in this position, man, and, you know, recruiting those guys and putting the right pieces together, you know, to give his Towson team a fair shot to compete in the CAA this year.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, I think it's going to be tough. I think they can get a split, man. Hofstra is a team that has been surprising, honestly. I mean, they get swept by Northeastern, and then they split with Delaware this weekend. So they're sitting at 3-3 right now in the CAA. Obviously, we know they're extremely talented. You know, you got you know, Jalen Ray, Tariq Coburn, and Isaac Conte. Those three guys are three of the better players in the conference. So it's going to be a great matchup, man. Conte going against Towson's big is going to be interesting to watch. Then obviously you got the backcourt, man. Jalen Ray and Tariq Coburn versus, you know, Zane Martin and Jason Gibson. So, I mean, I think that's going to be, you know, whoever wins those matchups is going to be, you know, who comes out on top in this matchup. I definitely could see a split. I think Towson needs to at least get a split up there. I don't think they can get swept. They want to kind of stay afloat in the CAA race because Northeastern is at 6-0 right now. So, I mean, it's looking like it's their conference, you know, to lose right now. I mean, they've swept Hofstra. They've gotten some good wins, and, I mean, they're looking really good right now. So, I think for Towson, they're going to have to at least go up there and get a split unless they want to, you know, kind of – because they're sitting at 2-1 right now. So, they can go up there and get a sweep. Then we're potentially talking about Towson really being a player in the CAA, them in Northeastern. So definitely will be something to keep an eye on. But I want to talk about the net rankings. They've been constantly updating and whatnot. We haven't looked at them in a while, but definitely want to go ahead and look at that, because there's a bunch of mid-majors in there. There's some that have been really rising up the polls. Obviously, we all know Gonzaga. Then they're still number one. They're going to be number one all year, unless, you know. Actually, I think Gonzaga might actually be number two in the net. I think Baylor might actually be the number one team in the, as opposed to the net ranking. That's just because of these indexes that they use to rank teams and whatnot. Yeah, Baylor's number one in the net. Gonzaga's in the number two. I want those teams to play. I hope they do find a way to get that game done, you know, because the college basketball world needs to see that game. It was a game that was scheduled. It was supposed to happen, and COVID got in the way of it. So I hope those two teams find a way to get that done. But Gonzaga's actually number two in the net. Drake is number nine. They're at 13-0. St. Louis is 14 out of the 18. They haven't played in God knows how long. They're actually going to get their season going this weekend. We'll talk about that a little bit later on the show, but they came in at 14. Boise State is number 15 in the net ranking. They're quietly 13-1 and 8-0 in the Mountain West. They're undefeated in the Mountain West right now, sitting at 13-1. And they have a win over BYU. We talked a lot about BYU. Boise State has beaten them in the non-conference, man. So Boise State is a team that the committee it looked like they respect a lot. Their team is going to be there. The Mountain West is going to be a team that could potentially get 2-3 teams in the tournament. Because, I mean, obviously the committee respects Boise State. They got them at 15 in the net right now. San Diego State is at 43. Utah State is at 45. Utah State is another team. They're 9-0 in the Mountain West. They had some great non-conference wins as well. Like I said, they just swept San Diego State over the weekend. And then, of course, San Diego State is at 43. So they could potentially get – they got three teams in the top 50 right now. They could potentially get, you know, those three teams could potentially all end up in the field come Selection Sunday. Colgate is at 22 in the net. We talked a lot about them. Obviously, they're sitting at 5-1 right now. BYU's at 31. Loyola Chicago is 41. San Diego State is 43. We just said Utah State, 45. Winthrop is 49, and Furman is 50. Winthrop should be higher. I don't know how they're 49. They're 14-0. They're undefeated. Obviously, they haven't played any great teams. They have a victory over Furman, which, is, in my opinion, is a really, really good team. Furman's at 50. They're number 50 in that ranking right now. So, anyway, they have a win over a top 50 program. And then, obviously, Richmond's at 52. And St. Bonnie's at 59 for the A-10. But, I mean, I think the committee is going to have to give Winthrop some respect, man. They're undefeated. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how are they 49? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know how you can have an undefeated team at 49. And when they do have a good win, and they're punishing teams, man. They sound like they're just barely squeaking out wins over here. Like they're beating teams pretty good. It's interesting. I want to keep watching that team and see, you know, what they can end up doing. But this net rankings was definitely telling to me what, you know, as far as where they have certain teams ranked and whatnot. So I'll let you go ahead and kind of comment on that.
Yeah, man, I think there's a lot of mid-major teams in there. I'm definitely surprised that Boise State, man, you know, for them to be that high and to be able to, you know, be 8-0 in the Mountain West. The Mountain West is a bear of a conference, so that's no small task for them. So, I mean, I think that, honestly, man, the overarching thing that I get from this, man, is, I mean, March Madness is going to be hell. I mean, when you have that many mid-majors in the top 50, let alone the top 100, I mean, when you have that many mid-majors in the top 50, that says a lot. You know what I'm saying? I think these are teams that can legitimately pull off some upsets. I mean, the news just broke. Actually, I'm going to save this nugget for a little bit later for the craziest things we saw, man. But, I mean, this is the year of the mid-major. This is the year of the mid-major, man. I think that there's going to be a lot of teams come you know, times for everybody to make their brackets who, you know, we're going to have a lot of bracket busters in there, man. I mean, Colgate is a team that I think could pull off a 14-3, 15-2 type of upset. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are the type of teams who went through, you know what I'm saying? Like you mentioned, are teams who can sneak in that tournament and be a problem. Siena, they're not ending their rankings, obviously, because they haven't played enough games and stuff. But, I mean, shoot, they're talented. Who's to say they can't get in there? And depending on what seed they get, can't pull off a win. I mean, I don't know, man. I think it's just so many teams, man. I mean, the Mountain West is the conference. I think those teams are actually going to be on the higher end of seed. I don't see them having, you know, too many. Like San Diego State gets in, they're probably going to be a 7-8 seed as opposed to, you know, 10-11-12 seed. So, yeah. I mean, I think it's a lot of teams who have potential to, man, get some round of 64 wins in the tournament.
Yeah, nah, for sure. I think, like you said, the Mountain West teams, I think those guys are going to be seated anywhere between – I mean, I think you can see those guys, depending on how they finish season, obviously, but you can see anywhere from a 5-6 seed even, you know, to obviously like an 8-9, depending on, you know, how those teams – how the chips fall the rest of the season, man. But the Mountain West, all three of those teams are real. You know, I love Furman. I mean, I'm telling folks now, one of them – when them brackets come out, because I know they're going to give them some respect, they're probably getting a 12 seed. They better – I feel bad for that 5 seed that has to see that Furman in the first round. I'm almost wanting to call that upset right now. I mean, you said what?
Have them winning at the conference?
SoCon, yeah. I have them winning the SoCon. I do. I think they're the best team in that conference. They're undefeated in the SoCon right now. Nobody's beating them in the SoCon. I mean, obviously, Winthrop is going to be there. ETSU is good. Wofford is good. Wofford's going to be there towards the end of the conference, man. But I think Furman is the clear favorite. I mean, one thing that has been surprising to me is Chattanooga. They've completely fallen off the map. I mean, they started off 9-0. They're now sitting at 11-4. They're 2-4 in the SoCon. So they've kind of fallen off. But, I mean, Furman, I think it's going to be between Furman and Wofford. I think those are the best two teams in the SoCon. But if I had to pick one of those teams, I would definitely go with Furman. To win the SoCon, man. So that's my prediction right now. And I think if they get in the tournament, they're going to be a team that's dangerous. And then Winthrop, man, I can't say enough about Winthrop, man. They have a kid named Chandler Bodrin. He's averaging almost a triple-double. He's like a 6'7 guard. He's averaging 12, 7, and 7 for Winthrop. He's getting triple-doubles like almost every night. I mean, he's getting – like I say, averaging 12, 7, and 7 for Winthrop. He's a big guard. He's a guy who can dictate pace. I mean, he can get it off the backboard and push it. He's a guy who doesn't really need his game isn't fancy. It's not flashy, but he gets the job done. So I think he's the type of player where in the tournament, you know, you play these high major teams, you're going to need guys, you know, that match up, you know, skill for skill. And I think he's definitely one of those guys that can do that, man. I think he's one of the better mid-major players in the country that nobody's really talking about. But, I mean, he's had games with 7-8, multiple games with 7-8, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, you know what I'm saying? So he's a guy that is definitely an underrated player. Again, his name is Chandler Bodrin. He's a 6'7", 200-pound guard for Winthrop. So definitely someone to keep an eye on as we kind of get closer to Selection Sunday. Some players to watch and, of course, some teams to watch as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're talking about the Winthrop in that Big South Conference. You know, I think they're definitely going to have a chance. You know, I think Winthrop is obviously the favorite right now, but, you know, we all know about Radford in that Big South. They have NCAA tournament pedigree. You know, they've produced, you know, obviously Carlick Jones, who's at Louisville right now, one of the best guards in the ACC, you know, so I think that Radford is definitely going to be there at the end, too. So I think, you know, and Winthrop is the early favorites, man, but, you know, I think we still have a lot left to shake out, man. Radford's sitting there at 8-1, you know, so one loss team is definitely very much still alive in the conversation in the Big South.
Yeah, Radford, I'm sorry, is one of the biggest surprises to me this year because they lost. I saw Stiles watching the Radford and Hampton game a few weeks ago. Radford lost, like, it was something crazy, like 88% of their scoring from last year. Like they had one of the biggest overturns as far as scoring loss. Obviously, Carlick Jones averaged 20 a game last year, and he's obviously at Louisville tearing it up right now. Then they had a bunch of other guys that were seniors that graduated, you know. And I mean, for this team to, you know, to have the success that they've had so far, like you said, Drew, 8-1 in the Big South. I think that is a testament to coaching, Coach Mike Jones over there doing a great job with that program. So I definitely don't want to disrespect them. We're going to see Radford and Winthrop play later on in February. Winthrop is going to go to Radford February 11th to February 12th. So that's going to be a series that we're definitely going to be have circled on my calendar when those two teams play. I definitely want to see how that shakes out. Right now, I think Winthrop is the favorite, but for sure don't want to leave Radford out of that equation because they definitely are a team that has earned the respect over the past couple of years.
Not for sure, man. I think, you know, hey, man, we obviously had a jam-packed, you know, weekend of college basketball. I mean, got some tons of games we're going to get you guys to on the other side of this interview, man. But I think now it's time for us to get you guys over to that interview with Anthony and Nender Tark, you know, the two brothers who have taken the MEAC by storm this year at Coppin State, man. So we're going to go ahead and get you guys over to that, man, and we'll see you guys soon.
All righty, guys. We are here with the Tark brothers. As you know, Andrew and I are, you know, twin brothers. And we got, you know, Nenda and Anthony, two brothers that are killing the scene over at Coppin State. So we had to make sure we tapped in with them. For those of you who do not know, Drew and I played at Coppin State last year. We're all four of us are from Montgomery County. So, you know, we definitely had to make sure these guys got over to Coppin State so they could, you know, experience that brother bond on the court as Drew and I did last year. So we're going to go ahead and get right into it. These two guys had a big win over Morgan State, which is our crosstown rival. Obviously, if you were watching last week, we talked a little bit about the rivalry on our last week's episode. But these guys were able to get a split this weekend, lost the first game, but was able to get a dub in the second game to end the series with a split. So we'll start with you, Anthony, man. I mean, you know, what do you think what was it like, you know, getting your first taste of that Coppin-Morgan rivalry? Obviously, it wasn't the same, you know, because the fans were in the gym. But for you, I mean, what was that rivalry like, you know, for your first experience of it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I know a few of their players over there. To be honest, some of us even stayed in the same apartment. So it's as close as it can be. I'm real familiar with Coach Broders. He recruited me when I was making my transition from NJIT when he was in Maryland. And he also recruited me when he was going to Morgan. So I'm real like familiar with him. It was chippy. It was chippy. First game was definitely chippy. They definitely had a different energy about themselves coming into that game, and something that we weren't, I guess, prepared for. But second game, it came out with a different energy and got it.
Wait, hold on. So, I mean, I don't want to just glance over this. You said that you guys live in the same apartment with some of them dudes?
some of them, like, prior to the game, like, you know, you can even see some of them on the elevator together. It's like, yo, you know what I'm saying? They right there. So,
so what's that like? Do y'all, like, talk to them? But it's kind of like, yeah, we don't want nothing to do with y'all.
Like, truthfully, the dudes I know, like, that I'm cool with, like, you know, Mo and Vic, it's like, all right, we can chop it up. But other ones, I ain't even know. So you keep it pushing, kind of.
Now, for you, Nenda, obviously, you know, you're a freshman. So this was your first, you know, kind of experience. Obviously, you've had a couple college games under your belt. I mean, but for you, I mean, what was that rivalry like, you know, the first time, you know, you've been able to play in that game?
It was pretty interesting because coming in, I don't know any of them. So it's just another game for me. But when we got on the court, it seems like a lot of people had some, like, personal rivalries within the rivalry as well. So it was, like, instantly dudes were just talking trash. And I was sitting there like, dang, what? Like, they didn't even do anything. They started talking. All right, I guess this is how it is. But over time, the game just got more and more gritty, more and more chippy. And then, it was just surprising how much they were talking already just from the jump.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, trust me, Nenda, for you, man, you got about three, maybe four more years left, so you're gonna got a lot more to experience, man. I can remember last year, man, we almost fought them dudes. The coaches were getting ready to fight, all type of stuff.
Yeah, it was a lot of choice language being used in both of them games, before, after. I remember after the buzzer sounded last year, we won. It was like me, Kobe, Kamal, we were like walking, like waving to the crowd, like, yeah, like, it was a crazy environment, man.
Nah, for real. I want to back up for a little bit, man, because you guys have a unique story, sort of similar to me and Aaron. Like, so rewind a little bit for last year, man. Aaron actually committed to Coppin first, and I ended up coming there a little bit down the road, and you guys actually have a similar story to where Nenda was actually committed to Coppin first, and then Anthony, you followed suit. So for the viewers, like, can you guys tell us about how you guys ended up at Coppin, and, like, you know, just what that whole journey was like for you guys, kind of, you know, being able to reunite and play on the college level?
I just remember I was just sitting at home and I got a phone call from a random number. I don't usually pick those up, but for some reason I did. And then it was Coach Dixon, and he just basically called me, was talking to me, and we had a good conversation. And then at the end of it, he offered me. So that was pretty exciting, and it felt real. It felt authentic. It felt like blowing smoke. And I say, I don't know, maybe a week later, I committed because I just felt like he was a real genuine guy and somebody I knew who's played at the highest level. So I knew that he's someone I could just look up to and follow suit. And then for him, it was like, once he saw me, I think that definitely influenced him because he had a lot of schools on his line. But from what I saw from him, me going there definitely influenced him.
Yeah, so for you, Eddie, like, talk to us about, you know, your journey as far as what made you come to Cobman and just how you ended up here, man. I actually, because you obviously, for people who don't know, man, Anthony was the first team all-conference guy at NJIT before you actually ended up transferring to UTEP out in El Paso. And then you kind of found yourself now here at Cobman. So kind of talk about, you know, your journey, you know, starting at NJIT and UTEP and then kind of how you got to Cobman now.
Yeah, started first off, you know, I was already in Jersey from a prep school. So then coming over and got the Coach Engels and Coach Kennedy over there, and they recruited me hard. And it was like a kind of like a family thing. I was already in the hoop group. You know, they were part of the hoop group. So I kind of just bred myself over there. Two good years, man. Unfortunately, my freshman year, we had a really good team. Our best player, DeMond Lynn, who turned his Achilles second game. Into conference, and I think that changed the whole way my season went and just our season in general. But then, you know, picking back off that year, going into my sophomore year, I wasn't even on any preseason, like, teams or anything like that. So then for me to, you know, end up being first team as a sophomore on that team, it was a credit to, like, the team we had and, you know, the conference trusting, believing in my abilities. UTEP, you know, it was great. It had its ups and downs, you know, its peaks and valleys throughout that process. But, you know, I thank God for that experience. It didn't go the way I would have hoped on the floor, but off the floor, I built a lot of real good connections with some brothers, you know, that I'll definitely have for life. Moving forward, the Cobman is crazy. You know, you guys are definitely a big piece of as to the reason why, you know, I ended up going there. I remember how passionate Coach Juan and, you know, Coach John and even Coach Charles were to try to get me over at Cobman. You guys definitely made the path, cleared the path more for me mentally. You know, it was going to be my third decision in terms of going to school. So, you know, those guys, yeah, they said they were trying to get me from November of the previous year while y'all was in y'all season. So that shows how much, you know, how much they wanted me, and that, you know, that's now I'm here with my bro, so it's awesome.
Now, for those of you who do not know, like I said at the beginning, all four of us here on this podcast, we're all from Montgomery County. So me and Drew went to Springbrook High School. These two briefly Tark went to Gaithersburg for his whole 4 years. Nenda, you went to Gaithersburg for how many years?
Two
years, and then left and went to Bullets for the last two, correct? And then went to the post-grad year. So we're all from Montgomery County. Tark, me and Drew played against Tark when we were in high school. We came up to Gaithersburg and handed them boys a nice fat L. I remember that game my senior year. Although Tark did catch a crazy body on one of my teammates. I will admit, Tark did throw it down to one of my teammates that game, and I was very upset that went down, but – you know what I'm saying? Me and Drew are 1-0 against Tark, so I want to make sure I get that on tape for the viewers. But nonetheless, man, we're all Montgomery County guys. All had the opportunity to play Division I basketball. I mean, you know, for you guys, obviously, as you guys know, there's stigma with Montgomery County Hoopers. It's, oh, they're soft, or, oh, you know, they ain't from the county, so they're not as good, or, oh, they're not from D.C. I mean, how do you guys kind of, you know, use that as motivation, if at all, you know, when you guys are on the court? And what does it mean to you guys kind of be representing the county on this scale right now? So I'll start with Anthony, and then we'll go to Nenda after.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even like really understand the whole, or even know about the whole Montgomery County stigma until like I was almost leaving it, you know, just because when I played in that, I think, MoCo versus PG All-Star game, I finally got an understanding of, like, okay, like, this is really, like, a little battle. Because I wasn't playing ball like early. So I just came in and I was kind of like a random dude that came in from soccer and was just trying to hoop. So then when I hear about it, I'm like, you know, I'm not familiar with it because I know how I play. I like to play hard. And, you know, I like to go hard. And we got dudes in the county that, you know, had the same mantra, the same mentality. So I guess, I mean, I wouldn't say I used it as motivation. It was just something I wasn't aware of because it was just the way I've been playing since I was young.
Yeah, for me, I never even when I was at Gaithersburg, I wasn't really paying attention to a lot of those kind of things. I was really just there because like I just came out of middle school, and I know I'm gonna play in high school, right. So it wasn't really like a PG thing. I probably say that when I went to Bullis, I realized that like MoCo PG. It's like actually like a real rival. Like I never personally experienced it because one, we never played no PG school. And two, just like I was just playing at Gaithersburg, just looking at him, not really like analyzing the whole rivalry type thing. So, I mean, it's cool. But when I step out there, I just play my game regardless.
Now, I mean, obviously, like, and it's crazy. I think back on this, man, like, yo, you guys came in obviously after we did. But yo, Ace, you remember, like, I remember my freshman year, we played at the old Gaithersburg, like, before the new gym was even built.
We definitely did. We almost got in that fight. Dude almost came down from the bleachers with his head in his coat.
old gym at Gaithersburg. I don't know if y'all, did y'all ever play in that gym at G-Burg or no?
I played there. So my sophomore year, I got pulled up to varsity. I played with the varsity team like the last like 6-7 games in that old gym. So I'm familiar with it.
Okay. So, yeah, man, that was crazy. I remember G-Burg used to get a little crazy sometimes.
It definitely did.
To talk about Montgomery County, man, like it's crazy because a lot of people don't even know this. Like Malcolm Miller is a dude that's from Montgomery County, went to Gaithersburg, won an NBA title with the Raptors, man. Like a lot of people don't even know that, you know what I'm saying? Like about just the basketball culture. We got you two on here right now. About a couple months ago, we talked to Jawa Tuka, who is at PSA. Mm-hmm. Obviously, me and Ace's old prep school, man. And like, it's a hoopers up at G-Burg, man. So like, low key. Like, I'm talking about for you guys, just like, just obviously being a part of that, you know, Gaithersburg guys who are like, you know, obviously playing at a high level. And you know, just kind of speak to that a little bit, kind of how your school has kind of gone under the radar when it comes from Montgomery County hoops, as opposed to schools like maybe Springbrook and Magruder, who kind of are known for like things like that.
Yeah, let me think. Coming in as a freshman, Gaithersburg wasn't looked at as a real like a basketball school at all. I think we won a championship in '98, but I met Malcolm when I was like 13, and I came into the gym in high school, and he was getting ready to leave out, and there was no real, like, I guess, culture in terms of winning. And then even my sophomore year, I was on JV. We were like 3-11, something like that. And the varsity team was like 6-17. Nothing to, you know, put your chest out for. But that junior year, we got a PG from Quinn Sorcha, Aaron King. And then we had the Evans brothers, and we ended up becoming the best team in the area, you know, me leading it. It was crazy because they weren't used to winning like that. But, God has his favor. I think we ended up winning like, 21-2, something like that year. Ended up losing on the buzzer beater to Clarksburg, like in the third round. But we were, team to beat those 2 years all on the varsity. So it goes to show, like, Malcolm, he tells me, like, he like averaged, like, 12 or 13 points his senior year, G-Burg, and went on to play in the league. So, you know, there's definitely guys and, you know, from that school, you know, that could definitely perform in college and even at the highest level. So it's pretty cool.
For me, I didn't really start following Gaithersburg until he was there because – we weren't even playing basketball yet. So we were just, going to elementary, going to the middle school, and I just was just going to the high school. So for me, Gaithersburg has always been a school with high expectations for themselves in terms of basketball. Like when he was there, they're one of the best teams. When we played, we definitely had goals to go to states. Even when I was gone, they eventually made it to states. Like they always have a high expectation for themselves, even though people don't really know too much about them. So for me, it was always like, okay, Gaithersburg is a winning basketball school, and they're always trying to win regardless of who they got.
Now, fast forward a little bit. Obviously, now you guys are both having great years at Coppin State. Nena is now said that you won the Rookie of the Week in the MEAC for the third time this season. So, I mean, for you, I mean, what were your expectations of yourself coming into the season, and how do you think that you've kind of adjusted? You know, I mean, just coming from you know, a guy that played there last year, like, you know, it seemed like people didn't really know how good you were, like, as far as, you know, I don't think anybody knew they were going to come in and be, you know, being in the year you were starting. I mean, you had a 20-point game early on in the season, man. You started the season really, really well. So, I mean, just talk about kind of how you've been able to play to start the season so far.
Coming in, I didn't really have expectations. I just wanted to come on the court and impact winning because obviously not everyone can be a big scorer. You know, it's like you got to find your role, find your niche, because every team needs to be complete in some sort of way. So I knew if I was going to play, that I was going to come in and try to impact winning in any way possible, whether that is scoring, rebound, assist, playing defense. Like, my whole goal was just to be able to impact, be able to have an impact on a winning team. And honestly, I didn't know what to expect coming in because it was new. But, you know, as the games have gone on, I've definitely grown more comfortable in how teams play and how we play.
Yeah. Now, see, for you, Andy, I mean, I'm pretty sure you won Player of the Week 2 times. You won Defensive Player of the Week 5 times. I mean, you're right now averaging 16 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. I mean, talk about, you know, the season you've been able to have. Obviously, coming off of the season last year where things didn't go the way that you wanted to on the court. And this year, I mean, the nation was on notice. You're one of the guys that people, you know, have been talking about a lot of the season that went on because of the performance that you've been able to put together.
Yeah, you know, it's a blessing. You know, like you guys have said earlier about what Juan Dix will allow you to do on the offensive side of the ball. You know, I'm new to this program. We got like 9 new guys, you know, and just trying to find ways to lead these guys. I had never played a schedule as strenuous as this. And obviously with the pandemic, it's been so unpredictable. You think you have games scheduled, and the next thing you know, like, you know, your first game is at Duke instead of at Marshall, and it's like you gotta, you know, lock in and just be ready to go. So, you know, it's great to be able to just, you know, play with him and play with the rest of the guys, and just having a staff that believes in me. There are obviously a lot of schools that were still recruiting me despite, you know, my lack of production at UTEP, but you know, I thank these guys for allowing me to be able to show, you know, my full game, my versatile game, and trying to do, you know, whatever it takes to win, you know, regardless of the scoring or whatever. Like, if it's to make the right pass, make the right play, that's something I'm going to do, you know, 10 out of 10 times. So.
Now, I mean, go ahead, Drew.
I think that's something that a lot of people don't really realize, man. Like, I was, like I said, we grew up playing, like, even outside of Coppin, like, at the rec, whatever, you know what I'm saying? So, like, y'all knew, like, my game and stuff. And it was crazy because, like, when I was at Quinnipiac, I was literally just catching and shooting the three, like. And I came to Coppin, I was posting up, like, coming off a ball screen, shooting, whatever. So, I'm like, yo, like, you really get to show your whole game at Coppin. That's something that, you know, credit to the staff of Coach Juan, Coach Charles, and all those guys that, you know, get to play a tremendous amount of freedom. But, like, I want to talk about you, man. Like, take me back to that moment, like, right, where first game of the season, you're at Duke, right? Like, Cameron Indoor Stadium, you know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, you coming off of a UTEP season where barely played, and then, boom, that first game happens, you go off for 22 points, you know what I'm saying? Like, what was that game like? What was that moment like? And obviously, after that, now the country's on notice. I've seen your highlights everywhere, people posting you, everybody's talking about you. So, like, what was that moment like for you, man? Like, just for everything to come full circle, you know, after the year that you had at UTEP, for you to be able to put on that kind of performance at Duke?
Yeah, it was, again, a blessing. You know, you got to thank God for his favor, but you don't know. Like, you know, you put in the work, you prepare, and you know, for anybody, and you prepare for yourself. And for the opportunity, I hadn't been in that role or played that amount of minutes since I was in Jersey. So it's like, you don't know, but one thing you do know is that you can control your defensive effort, and then you know you're gonna have the freedom on your other side of the ball. So going out there, I don't think I've ever played a top 10 team before, you know, especially to having a role against a, you know, a team like that. So it was just going out there and playing my game and letting the chips fall and, you know, letting the work in there that I put in, you know, do what it do. And for I still say this to this day, I wanted to beat those guys. I think if we knew the principles better, you know, defensively, I think we would have had a better chance. But, you know, we played them close and I wanted that game. I definitely wanted that game. So it happened. It was good.
Yeah, it's not every day you get to play at Cameron Indoor, man. I ain't gonna lie, man. I was fuming. I was happy for y'all, but when I saw on Twitter that Cobham State was gonna be playing at Duke, I almost tossed my cell phone. I was like, man, do you know what I would have did if we would have got to play at Duke last year? The year I leave, they want to, and now they want to hand out all these extra year eligibility. They want to get everybody extra year. But when we played last year and our season got cut short, they didn't want to give us our year back. And then you see Duke on the schedule. I wanted to throw my phone. I was hurt. I was hurt. I called Coach Charles. I was like, yo, Coach Charles, dog, this how you feel about me, bro? You going to wait till I leave to schedule with Duke?
Duke, that's crazy.
But I definitely want to talk about this, man. I mean, you guys are – I mean, I'm read you guys some numbers for the viewers, man. I mean, Anthony Tark, he's averaging 3 steals a game, 1.6 blocks, and then is averaging 1.6 steals per game. I mean, these two guys are two of the best defensive players in the league, and they're both on the same team. And then for a freshman to average, you know, almost 2 steals a game is unbelievable, man. Tark, you to average 3 blocks and 2 steals. I mean, you won defensive player of the week 5 times. I mean, talk about the impact you guys try to have on the defensive side of the floor. Both of you guys are great athletes. You know, me and Drew never had the bounce that you guys have, you know, so you know, I'm a little jealous of that. But, I mean, talk about the defensive side of the ball and the way you guys try to impact on that side of the ball. We'll start with you, Nenda, and then we'll go to Anthony.
Coach says if you want to play, you got to play defense. Like, he don't even worry about what you do on offense, but if you play defense and you set the tone defensively, then everything else will work itself out in terms of running, you know, baskets, so on and so forth. And I just want to be able to showcase my full game. So I feel like I'm a really good defensive player, so I want to be able to show that, and I try to show that every night that I'm out there.
Yeah, it's what he said. Like, you have to be able to guard. And to be honest, like, we were unaware of, like, how we were going to guard here, especially, like, y'all know the defensive principles, the way they lay is that, like, it's way different from anybody else in college ball. So we had to, you know, learn that and still learning it, you know, so I'm still adjusting to it, but knowing that, you know, in our minds, defense does come first. But it makes it easier, you know, to defend when you have a staff that believes in the principles. So now you just follow suit and try to execute as best as you can.
I mean, at this point in time, I mean, Anthony, it looks like, I mean, you're probably the front runner for Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, was that a goal of yours coming into the season, or is that just something that has kind of just, you know, manifested itself throughout the first couple of games?
Yeah, my coaches challenged me. Kobe Thomas challenged me, you know, because he said, yeah, I want to win Defensive Player of the Year. And not like I was like, yeah, I want to win it too. But, you know, you go out there, you try to play as hard as you can. And, you know, regardless of the score, you know, up 15, down 15, you try to give us, you know, as much effort on that side of the ball as you can. And try not to have, you know, energy lapses, you know, on that side of the ball. And now, you know, things are just happen as they are. Like, still games where, you know, I feel like I could give a better defensive effort like early, but, you know, my mindset now is, you know, I understand that defense does win championships, and that's, you know, one of our goals here is to try to, you know, get one. So, yeah.
I mean, speaking of that, man, like, you know, you guys are off to a 3-1 start thus far in MEAC play, and I think obviously a lot of people didn't really have Kopman toward the top of the MEAC things when the preseason poll came out. Despite the fact that, I mean, we've gotten better every year. I know last year we had, you know, 4 non-conference wins, most that we've had in I don't even know how many years. Right. We had a first round bye in the MEAC tournament before our season obviously got canceled before we ever got a chance to play. But, I mean, Kopman has gotten better
really each year that Coach Juan has been there, man. But this year, I think you guys have a really unique chance, and as really as good a chance as anybody to win the league. Just kind of talk about, you know, where you think you guys are thus far within the MEAC, and where you think you guys can go, you know, by the end of the year.
Yeah, you know, we set a goal for ourselves early that we wanted to try to do that. And, you know, Coach Juan, even prior to, you know, while he was recruiting me, he was like, you know, I'm trying to bring you here to try to win one. I believe we can win this, win a championship. And it's not, you know, it's not something that's easy, especially with the pandemic and bringing 9 new guys and trying to have them all mesh together in a different system and all those things. Like, it's not easy. But I think the way we started the year with, you know, the injuries, the lack of bodies that we had and everything, we can only get better. We can only move forward. And I think we're in a good position right now. I think we're coming together more as a team. You got to start understanding, you know, it's really not about the points, but if we can go on the other side and really go strap somebody up, the points and everything else take care of itself. And I think for our team right now, we have like 5 guys that have been, you know, around close to 10 points. So if we continue to just play D, you know, the offensive side will take care of itself. And I think when we're at our best, when we're, you know, running and pushing that ball ahead and getting stops. So, I mean, I think when we have that good energy, dude, it's going to be tough to beat us in this conference for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead, Nanda.
Like you said, our goal is to win. And we just try to get better every day. Every day, we're still learning things about our team and about how we go about executing certain things. And I feel like you can never get complacent. You can never get too complacent because you never know when somebody's going to just put you one time. So we just stay focused and try to lock in on what we're supposed to do against each team and try to get better every single day. Because, you know, at the end of the day, our goal is to win that championship. And that, if you don't get better every single day and you stay stagnant, it's not going to go.
Mm-hmm. I want to say the most surprising thing that I heard on this podcast all day is that Anthony said that that Kobe said he wanted to win Defensive Player of the Year. hearing that now is comical. I mean, Kobe didn't play no defense last year.
I didn't hear it, but nah, he's a dog on defense.
Hey, man, I love to hear it, man. I am glad to hear that, man. Kobe Thomas, if you're listening to this podcast, man, I'm glad you finally, you know what I'm saying, trying to go ahead and sit in the stands and guard somebody, man. But one thing that I wanted to make sure that I asked you guys, you guys have been really fortunate, knock on wood, I don't want to jinx anything or anybody, but you guys have been pretty fortunate to play almost all the games on your schedule. I mean, you guys had those first 2 games of the year canceled in West Virginia, but other than that, you guys have pretty much played all your games. The Towson game, I know, got postponed, but you guys were able to make that game up later. The NCAA came out with a rule saying that you could only play 13, that you had to play 13 games in order to be tournament eligible, and you guys are at 13. You guys have played the 13 games, and now you guys are going to go in and look like you guys are going to be able to play well over 20 games, obviously barring anything unforeseen. But, I mean, how have you guys been dealing with the pandemic and kind of being able to stay safe where you've had teams like Towson right up the road who, you know, has been paused for, I mean, I think 2 or 3 different times throughout the year?
You know, it's just trying to follow the protocols as best we can, like really staying in your apartment, staying in your room, wearing a mask. We get tested very, you know, often. But like we really do try to be as diligent as we can with that process. It sucks. It's unfortunate. You know, you can't really go out or, you know, just run to the store. You got to make sure you get gloved up, you're masked up and protected because, you know, the big thing is the sacrifice and trying to do whatever it takes to be able to play games. And 13 games, I mean, prior to that little 11-day layoff where we didn't play, like, we had played probably one of the most games in the country, like, in regards to other teams. So we thank God for that because, you know, it can contact tracing can happen anyway, anyhow. So we thank God for it. But, yeah, staying diligent.
Now, for you, Anthony, man, like, I think times have changed, man, to where, like, we've seen a lot more guys from, you know, from low-major schools and from mid-major schools actually be able to get opportunity to play at the highest level with, you know, two-way opportunities, Exhibit 10 opportunities. Now, for you, man, like, I think you've been one of those guys, man, obviously with your frame, man, you're big, tall, athletic, long arms, you're a great defender. I think, you know, with the season that you've been able to put together, man, you're a guy who's put together a very impressive resume to be able to play, you know, and get at least get a shot, you know, at playing in the NBA next year, man. So, like, for you, you know, what has that been like for you, man? Like, putting those small schools on your back and being able to kind of try to showcase that, like, at the end of the day, it's really not about the school you go to or anything like that. It's more so just about, you know, performing and, you know, being able to, I guess, get the right fit.
Yeah. It's funny, like, coming out of high school, I was going to commit to a D2. I committed to a D2, signed and everything. And my AU coach, rest in peace, RD, he was pissed off at me. He was like, yo, you're not going to Division II, you know, but that wasn't to say I didn't have any Division I offers, but this Division II school was just so passionate to recruit me. And you know, I would never forget those guys, Coach Osborne and Coach Rector at University of Charleston. Those guys were so, you know, passionate about trying to get me to their school. And I believed in what they were saying. But my head AU coach was like, you can play anywhere in the country. Like, and I was 17, you know, you don't know. I didn't know much about D1 or anything like that, but he made sure I didn't go. And it's just about consistently putting in the work. It's like I tell Nenda this. I went to UTEP. I didn't play, but I know I got better. I got better mentally. I got better physically as a ball player, and just understanding how college ball worked, and just what I wanted for myself. And it's just about staying the course, you know. I think Ace sent me a little audio from Rick Pitino saying that he believed that I could play anywhere in the country and I'm as good as anybody in the country or whatever. And that was, you know, that gave me more confidence, you know, coming from a Hall of Fame coach, to know that, you know, it doesn't really matter where you go, but if you can showcase what you can do, you know, I get the sky's the limit for you. And I know, like, the sky's the limit for me. So.
Running a little bit low on time. I want to make sure I get this question out of here, man. Then I'm going to go ahead and come to you, man. You and Tucker are playing one-on-one tomorrow. Who's winning and what's the score?
That's a good question.
Play him.
You know, I have confidence in myself. It's hard to doubt, to bet against myself. So I'm going to say 11-9, me.
Ooh, okay. I love that. I love that talk, man. I love that talk. Anthony, man, what you got to say about that?
We play every day, and you know what it is.
No, it's not like that. It's not like that.
I love that, man. Hey, I tell Drew the same way because he can't guard me. You know what I'm saying? Out of the two, you know what I'm saying? I'm definitely the all-time leader in one's wins. But
so much,
you know what I'm saying? We're going to go ahead and close the episode out on that note. You know what I'm saying?
Series from this summer.
Look. Mike,
drop.
Look, man. Mike, lifetime wins. I got the most done. That's all I'm going to say, man.
You can't be lying. Yo, this is all facts media. You can't be lying. It's all facts. Okay?
Hey, man. There's no cap. There's no cap in my rap, man. There's no cap in my rap, man. But I want to make sure I thank you guys for coming on today, man. This has been extremely fun to see two MoCo guys, you know, at Coppin State, you know, doing on the biggest level, man. It's really amazing to see, man. So thank you guys for coming on, man. Super proud of you guys. And obviously wish you guys the best of luck. We'll probably see you guys this weekend when you guys play Norfolk State. And for those of you guys listening to this, make sure you guys tune in this weekend as Norfolk State travels to Coppin this weekend.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
No problem, man. Stay tuned, people.
All righty, guys, that was Anthony and Nenda Tark, man. Two guys, man, Montgomery County stand up, man. I can't say this enough, man. It's been a lot of Montgomery County guys that's been slept on, man. You know, myself, Ace, you know, my guy Nick Griffin, who played at Magruder, you know, went on to play at GW in St. Peter's, Anthony Tark, Nenda Tark, obviously at Coppin State, man, the Malcolm Millers of the world, you know, who are playing in the NBA right now. Tons of guys playing overseas right now. My guy Matt Blanc, you know, over at Quinnipiac. My guy Andrew Costeca, you know, Loyola running it up right now. You know, big time Montgomery County guy out of Clarksburg, man. I mean, show us some love, man. Montgomery County got hoopers, man. You know what I'm saying? I definitely want to get that out there on the record on this podcast, man.
Not for sure, man. We didn't have to do that every level, man. I got Garland Owens in ACC at Boston College getting it done. You know what I'm saying, man? I mean, we didn't have some players throughout the year, and that's just out of the public school. We're not even talking about private school kids, you know, or guys that grew up in Montgomery County that went to private school and whatnot. We're talking about the kids that came out of Montgomery County public schools. You know what I'm saying? Even Demonte Ojinaga, our guy from Blake, went to play at Indiana State. You know what I'm saying? We've had, and we're not even going to go back to Jamal Lossaware and Zaire Hurst and all them dudes. Isaiah Swan that played at Florida State. You know, following Campbell that went to a Final Four at, you know, at George Mason. I mean, we're not even going to get that far back into the bag. But Montgomery County definitely got some talent, man. So, I mean, it's definitely crazy to see those guys performing, you know, the way that they are. Nenda to be a freshman hooping the way he is, and Tark obviously putting the whole country on notice. That guy is going to be special, man. If you haven't heard of Anthony Tark and listening to this podcast, man, make sure you guys go and watch that man film. It's all over the internet. If you put his name in on Twitter, I guarantee you'll see some highlights. So go ahead and definitely check those two out, man, because both of those guys, I think Nenda's going to have a great career at Coppin State, man. He's going to have a great career. He's obviously a guy that I think has surpassed all expectations, man. And he's a hard worker, great kid, high character. So both of those dudes got big things in store coming forward.
Yeah, for sure, man. How about Gettysburg High School, man? How about Jordan Hawkins, you know, a guy who was at G-Bird, transferred to DeMatha, you know, and is now a top 100, top 50 player, you know, in America, is going to UConn next year, man. I mean, so Gettysburg has some sneaky hoopers over the past couple of years, man.
They definitely have, man. But them guys be leaving, you know what I'm saying, because they don't really respect G-Bird, you know what I'm saying? See, Springbrook, us, dude, we stay all four, you know what I'm saying? I don't even want to start going to the dude, my man Dave East, Springbrook legend. His real name was David Brewster. If you don't know, now you know. Dave East, the rapper, yes, played at Springbrook, was a hooper, was a bucket, was a absolute played with Kevin Durant and Mike Beasley on Assault. I mean, the dude is a hooper. But, you know, it just happened to be real nice at rap. I ain't mad at him. You know, so definitely could have went and made big money playing professionally, but chose to pursue the rap. But Springbrook has a long lineage of history, man. Following Campbell, David Brewster, myself, you, Jamal Lossaware, Zaire Hurst, Deshaun Walker, Matt Blanc. I mean, all guys that went from Springbrook and played Division I basketball. Jermaine Ukabu, my guy, played at Winthrop. Definitely don't want to leave him out.
Jared Watson played at BMI.
Yep.
So, I mean,
we got three rings, you know what I'm saying? And we three-peated at states, you know what I'm saying? That was the reason why me and you went there, because our sixth, seventh, eighth grade year, Springbrook was winning states. So, I mean, it's a lot to be said about the culture of Springbrook basketball and Gettysburg. I mean, Montgomery County basketball has produced, I mean, numerous. I mean, you talk about Magruder, like you said, Nick Griffin goes to GW, then goes to St. Peter's. Garland Owens goes to Boston College. Way back in the day, Isaiah Swan played at Magruder, went to Florida State in the ACC.
Obviously.
Yep, Joe Hughley definitely for sure played at Robert Morris and Chadford to Central Connecticut. Ended at ETSU. Now he's over at Wake Forest coaching. Definitely don't want to leave my guy Joe up out of the equation. I got texting back. I just remember that. I definitely got to get back to Joe. But yeah, man, Montgomery County, man, Moco, stand up, man. We got hoopers, man. Then Jao Atuka, who was at G-Bird, he's not at Putnam Science Academy. He's definitely a Division I player. I don't know where he's going to end up. Putnam hasn't been able to play any games because of COVID, which is kind of hurting him right now. So we'll definitely see what happens with that situation. But he's another guy. Keep your eyes peeled for Jao Atuka. He's definitely a Division I kid, played at Gettysburg. And then, so we're going to see what he ends up doing. But, yeah, man, Moco, man, we got hoopers. Respect us.
Yes, sir. Respectfully.
I mean, respectfully, man. But we want to get to our favorite segment of the week, man. The craziest thing we saw this week, man. So, Drew, man, what you got for us, man? What was the craziest thing you saw this week?
Yeah, man. I'm sure, you know, if you guys haven't heard, man, you know, this is the first time since 1961. Okay. Now, mind you, we're in 2021 now, so that's 60 years. It's the first time in 60 years that neither Duke, Kentucky, or Carolina is ranked in the top 25. Excuse me. First time in 60 years that neither three of these perennial blue bloods, Duke, UNC, or Kentucky, is ranked in the top 25. I mean, when you think about college basketball, Duke, UNC, Kentucky, Kansas, and probably UCLA are probably the first programs you think of, man. And for Duke, Kentucky, and Carolina to not be ranked in the top 25 for the first time in 60 years. Like, our mom wasn't even born. Our mom wasn't even 60 years old. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a long, long time, man. I think it just speaks to the changing of the guard in college basketball, man. Like, you know, these kids are going to different schools. I mean, you got kids like Charles Bassey, who was a five-star recruit is going to Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky has got another five-star recruit that's going there, and Zion Harmon is going to be in there next year. We're going to be talking to him a lot, talking about him a lot on this podcast for sure as a mid-major guy. But, I mean, you got kids like, you know, Scotty Barnes, who's going to Florida State, man. You got kids like Sharif Cooper going to Auburn. I mean, there's five-star kids that are going to these just like non-traditional basketball schools. I mean, it's
Zaire Williams over there at Stanford.
Yeah, the things are changing, man. Kids aren't just piling on to these rosters at Duke and Kentucky. And I know Kentucky did have the number one recruiting class, you know, but I mean, I think the talent is a lot more dispersed, man. You have, you know, Jaden Springer,
yep, at Tennessee. Yeah,
Tennessee. I mean, like, it's a lot different, man. I mean, kids are Anthony Edwards, number one pick in the draft, just got drafted from Georgia. Like, when's the last time Georgia has had the number one player in the country? You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, it's insane, man, that kids are really taking the time to really, evaluate themselves and look and really do, you know, what's best for them as opposed to going to these schools like Duke and Carolina. I think you can also, you know, go in with that with, you know, obviously the rise of the mid-major, man. Like, these mid-majors are getting a lot better. You know what I'm saying? You have, like, just 2 years ago, we're 2 years removed from Loyola Chicago and making the Final Four run. But, I mean, there's been a lot of teams who have been able to make a lot of noise, you know, from the mid-major perspective. So, I mean, that's the crazy thing I saw, man. 60 years. Duke, Kentucky, and Carolina, man. We know Kentucky is on the brink of not making an NCAA tournament based on their start. They're probably out as of right now. I was listening to something today or last night during the Villanova game. They were like, yo, man, is Duke in danger of missing the NCAA tournament? I mean, could you imagine an NCAA tournament without Duke? I mean, these are things that people are – I mean, they just lost to Pitt, which obviously is a bad loss in the ACC for Duke. I mean, could you imagine an NCAA tournament without Duke and Kentucky? I mean, I don't even – like, when's the last time that's happened? We need to look at it.
How about a tournament without Duke, Kentucky, and Carolina? Because, I mean, Carolina is 3-3 in the ACC, 8-5 overall. Duke is 3-2 in the ACC, 5-4 overall. Then Kentucky is not making the tournament. Kentucky's not going to be in – they're not going to be in the tournament this year. So, I mean, we could potentially have a tournament without all three of them. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Duke is going to be in the tournament. I think they're going to find their way. And I also don't want to – Pitt, Jeff Capel has done a great job with Pitt. I mean, they're 4-1 in the ACC. They're 8-2 overall. I mean, Jeff Capel has done a great job with that program. So, and obviously, Duke also never lost in ACC to Virginia Tech, who right now is sitting at number 16th overall in the country. They're 5-1 in the ACC, 11-2 overall. So, those are their two losses right now. So, I mean, I think Duke is going to end up in the tournament. But, I mean, hey, you never know, man. Crazy things have happened. And – I can't imagine a tournament without Duke, Carolina, and Kentucky. I mean, that's – I've never happened since I've been on this earth. So, I mean, the NCAA can you think about all the money they would lose without those three teams? I mean, that's why I don't think it's going to happen. I think if Duke and Kentucky – Duke and Carolina are – Kentucky's not making the tournament. If Duke and Carolina are on the bubble in any fashion, they're going to be in. They will be in. You can book it. I don't care if the resumes are – if they're on the bubble, first four in, next four out, first whatever, they will be in for sure. So, I mean, they just can't play themselves off the bubble. If they're hovering around the bubble, they'll get in. Because they would be absolute hell to pay. If comes Selection Sunday, Duke and Carolina do not get in the tournament and they're on the bubble. And Coach K goes on the record saying this and that. Man, I mean, it would – instantly they would be hell to pay for sure.
Coach K is like, you know, he's Teflon when it comes to NCAA. He got the black hair, you know what I'm saying? He's like the godfather of the NCAA, man. So, you know, I think he's going, you know, if it get close, he's going to make a couple calls, you know, who was on that committee, and Duke will be in there. But, I mean, I think, you know, as we're looking at the top 25 right now, man, for those three teams not to be in, first time in 60 years, I mean, that's definitely the craziest thing that I saw over this past week.
Yeah, for sure, man. I want to have an honorable mention. I want to shout out my guy, Demetrius Mims. Drew and I saw this dunk live and in person. He takes the ball coast to coast and absolutely puts the hammer down and throws it on my guy, Boggs, from UNC Wilmington. I don't want to name drop my guy if anybody listening to this, but, you know, that dunk really sparked a crazy run for Towson. I mean, I want to say they went on like a 21-4 run throughout that second half. And that dunk and that run really changed the game because they were obviously losing. And then, you know, Mims just goes to all LeBron. You know, Tomahawks put the hammer down, and that completely changed the game. And UNC Wilmington kind of rolled over after that, and they ended up, you know, losing. And Towson ends up getting that sweep. So definitely want to shout out my guy, Demetrius Mims, for bringing the hammer down, man. That dunk was crazy. If you haven't seen it, definitely go on Twitter, man. Type in
my guy Demetrius, man, is going to Towson Men's Basketball Twitter page. There's videos of that over there. So definitely want to get out a little shout out as well.
Not for sure, man. For sure, man. Definitely, definitely, guys, show them some love, man. Show y'all the Baltimore. Show y'all the trenches. Demetrius Mims. I think he went to Poly, man. So,
yeah.
You know, former Baltimore
player of the year.
Yeah, man. Baltimore player of the year, man. So, you know, shout out to B Moore. You know, he definitely got some local guys on here, man. But, you know, without further ado, man, we want to definitely want to get you guys to some games of the week. I'm gonna start in the MAC. I'm starting the MAC, man. Like we mentioned before, man. The game of the week for me, man. We got St. Peter's and Siena. ESPNU, they're teeing it up this Friday at 7. That's a matchup between the top two teams in the MAC. You know, preseason. Obviously, you know, Pickett's missed the last three games. So, I think when we're talking about, you know, when we're talking about Siena, are they gonna get Pickett back? You know, that's gonna be a big time decision for that game. You know. So I think I had that game definitely circled for the MAC. Monmouth from Manhattan are going to tee it up, like we mentioned before. Also, this is a big time opportunity for Manhattan, man. They're 4-4. They finally got back to 500. You know, they're going to potentially need to, you know, kind of. I mean, I won't say they need to get two, man. But I mean, if they can get two, they're just coming off a sweep against Niagara. So I mean, if they can steal two at home against Monmouth, I think that can kind of get Manhattan back toward the top of that league, to where we're talking about Manhattan within those top five teams in the MAC. They kind of started off really rocky, man. Obviously, they started 2-4, dropping those two to Marist. They can get a sweep over Monmouth at home. I think we're having a completely different conversation about this Manhattan team. The last MAC game I want to touch on is going to be Niagara at QU, man. Obviously, QU is 1-3 in the MAC, you know, right now. I think I don't want to say they need a sweep, but I mean we're starting to get into that. Like, you don't want to fall too far out of the conversation. You know, if they get a split, maybe 2-4. If they can get a sweep and get to 3-3, they're right back in that 500 picture. They're gonna be right back in the ball game in the MAC. So when it comes to the MAC, those are the games that I have circled on my calendar for this upcoming week.
If sure, man, those are some great games. Definitely gonna be have my eyes glued to TV when St. Peter's plays Siena. That's gonna be a great game. So I definitely wanna make sure. Hope Siena can get Pickett back. But if he can't, I mean, I don't want to bet it. I still want to bet against Siena. You know, this kid Jordan King is playing out of his mind right now. So it's gonna be a great game to watch for me. You got BCU St. Bonaventure playing tonight at 6. If anybody that, you know, watches this podcast as soon as it drops, we love you. You're loyal. Tune in at 6 p.m. VCU St. Bonaventure playing tonight at 6. St. Louis is finally going to get their season going this weekend. They're playing this Saturday at 7 versus St. Bonaventure. Man, they haven't played in, I think it's been like a month since they've played, man. So St. Louis is going to get back. They haven't played in an A-10 game. So they're finally going to get their A-10 schedule going this Saturday. Knock on wood. Hopefully they don't test positive again. But they're going to play St. Bonaventure on Saturday. It's definitely going to be a game to watch. UNCG, you know I love the SoCon. Gotta show my SoCon guys some love. UNCG is going to Chattanooga on Saturday at 12. UNCG is a team that's, I think, believe they're 4-2 in the SoCon. Chattanooga is 2-4. So this is going to be a game. I think Chattanooga needs to win at home. They're 2-4 in the SoCon. This is a game that they need to win if they want to get back in that picture in the SoCon. And then Furman is going to Johnson City to play ETSU this weekend. ETSU is currently third in the SoCon right now, behind Furman and Wofford. Furman is going to travel to ETSU this Saturday at 4 p.m. It's going to be a game that I'm going to have circled on my calendar. Liberty is going to Jacksonville. We had Anthony Tark. You heard him earlier. That Florida trip, man, can get tricky. You know what I'm saying? You got Stetson, Jacksonville, North Florida, and what was it? Florida Gulf Coast, I believe, was down there. Was the fourth one. You know, those Florida trips can't get tough. Liberty's coming off a loss to Stetson, another one of those Florida teams. So they're gonna have a chance to rebound. They're going to Jacksonville this weekend to play and see what's gonna happen with that game. And then Colorado State and Utah State are playing Thursday at 11 p.m. Colorado State is currently third place in the Mountain West. This is a team that is beating San Diego State, and obviously Utah State. We talked about them earlier. They're undefeated, sitting at 9-0 in the Mountain West. So Colorado State is gonna travel to Utah State Thursday at 11 p.m. So we're going to see what happens with those games, man.
Yeah, man. I think, they St. Louis must got some crazy respect on their name. They still ranked in the top 25, haven't played in Lord knows how long, man. That's A-10's hanging on to them, you know, because they need them to continue to have that respect on their name for the conference and for the resume perspective, man. But the last game I want to highlight out of A-10, man, we got Dayton and VCU. They're also going to be teaming up. got a big time matchup between two of the best guards in the league. You know, Bones Highland and Jalen Crutcher, two guys at that lead guard position. You know, Crutcher's averaging almost 20 points a game on 53% from the field. You know, Bones Highland's currently at 18 a game at 42% from the field, man. So I think that that's definitely going to be a big time game. It's going to be at VCU. So it's going to be a, you know, no day in the A-10, man. You know, a big time test for VCU at home. I think they can get a win over Dayton. Again, we're gonna be talking about VCU in a little bit of a different light. I was really looking forward to that game, man, this weekend. VCU and Richmond, man, and got canceled. That was gonna tell us a lot about VCU or about Richmond as well. But really, I think that game would have meant more for VCU. They could have got a win over Richmond. So, you know, VCU is turning their head, obviously. I think that's gonna be a big time opportunity for them. They're gonna have St. Bonaventure tonight, obviously, like you mentioned. Big time test. Then they're gonna follow it up with a game against Dayton. Another big-time test, man. So these next two games, man, we're going to find out a lot about VCU, you know, Mike Rhodes' team, a team that's tremendously well-coached. Obviously, they got Bones Highland, you know, one of the best guards in the Atlantic 10 for sure, man. So I think, you know, definitely got those games circled on my calendar for the VCU Rams.
Sure, man. I mean, as always, man, college basketball will be exciting this weekend, as it always is. Make sure you guys are tuned in. And then tonight, man, make sure you guys are tuned in as well. St. Bonaventure is going to play VCU tonight at 6. So make sure you guys go ahead and watch that game, man. It's inauguration day. It's been a great episode, man. Definitely want to go ahead and check out my guy Biden and see what he's talking about, man. But this is going to do it for another episode of the Auto Bid, man. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Like we said at the beginning of the episode, make sure you guys are liking this podcast, subscribing, giving it a rating, man. Telling a friend to tell a friend. Spread that good gospel, man. Every retweet on Twitter or reposting your stories, man, it helps us. It goes a long way, man. Thank you guys for tuning in to us, man. We're going to let my guy pull up Tay. Take us out with some good music, man. And until next time, folks.
It's time to get a check, boy. You want a sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What we talking about? Take your best shot. I'm going to take the last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy.